All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, September 5th, 2015. Looking forward to talking to assistant pro at Deepdale, Ben Pollen, who's made his way to Peterborough, Ontario for the Mackenzie Tour Wildfire Invitational. So, but we're going to be talking to him about his historic 100th Met Open win. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined on the line by the winner of the 100 Met Open Championship at Wingfoot, Ben Pollen. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me on, Anthony.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, first of all, thank you for joining me and taking the time. I know you're competing, and you made the cut there at the Wildfire Invitational. So, really, thank you for squeezing some time in to talk about your historic win.
No problem at all.
Are you, you know, when you think back, I was just thinking maybe this, when you reflected back on this past summer, if you will, beginning with the PGA Professionals National Championship to today, what are some of the things that come to mind for you?
Opportunities, really. I knew that this summer, or after winning the Met Pro last year, knowing that it kind of opened the door to a few other tournaments for me, or the possibility of playing in a few other events. I just wanted to try and make the most of it. And obviously playing well in the Club Pro got me into Whistling Straits, which is always something to look forward to. And then every season in the Met section, you have the State Open, the Met Open, the Met PGA, the Treiber, all these big, great tournaments to look forward to. So just I was looking forward to opportunities to playing against, you know, some great golfers and playing some great golf courses and just try to do my best.
Sure. What's been the challenging part of this, the last three, you know, couple of months or so?
Probably just getting used to, I mean, playing on the Canadian Tour, just a couple of these events. I mean, I wouldn't say that I've played on the tour full season or anything, but this is my second event up here, and traveling is definitely something that's take some getting used to. Going out to the PGA Whistling, just the whole getting into a groove somewhere other than home is I think a skill that you need to acquire based on experience, just doing it. And that's it's been a good learning experience so far this summer, and just traveling, you know, finding out which restaurants to go to and how to do your practice routine and finding hotels and flights and just organizing everything like that has been kind of a whirlwind, but I feel like I'm starting to get a handle on it.
Right. Do you learn a little when you go through something like that? Like you said, trying to make all these arrangements, you gotta find places to stay, places to go. Hopefully, you hook up with a few guys from the tour, find a caddy, whatever the case may be. Have you learned a little bit about yourself during these sort of little trials of learning how to be a young tour pro?
Yeah, I found out that I like doing it,
which is pretty important.
It is important, because I think a lot of people told me, you know, you want to play on tour, the idea of it's pretty cool, but once you get out there, it's not everything that it seems. They're right.
Yeah.
I like traveling. I like being out here. I love playing competitive golf, and especially against, you know, really good golfers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to doing more of it, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a good point in the sense that, you know, things, people sometimes think they want something until you actually do it, because they like, whether, you know, and it's not maybe just because they like the idea of it, but just maybe because, you know, it's just what they have in their mind of what it might be like or whatever the case may be. But you're not going to really know if you were meant to do it if you don't do it.
It's true. Yep.
You know, and I think, I don't think everybody thinks they're going to, you know, make the tour, and or when they going for the tour, they're going to own a plane and have all these things. And, you know, I think that's sort of a misconception when really you think about the guys like yourself and the guys on the web.com tour and the Canadian tour and the Latin American tour who are really grinding it out to make a living.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't make a living up here playing on these tours. I mean, the guy on top of the money list is probably under 80,000 Canadian dollars, and it's
right.
And that's just, he's spending a lot of money to travel and stay certain places and entry fees and everything. And so he's not making a lot of money, especially to live off of. But you definitely have to get to a pretty high level to make it a living. And otherwise, you are grinding it out. That's something that you have to be aware of and comfortable of, knowing that, you know, it's not everything, but, you know, you better play well. Otherwise, you're going to have to find something else to do.
Exactly. Exactly. How much more, while we're on the subject of the Canadian Tour, how much more do you plan on trying to play?
Well, there's only two more events left in the season.
Okay.
And I won't be able to play in them based on, there's just a schedule conflict with the PGA Cup starting the following week on the 14th.
Okay.
That's out in California. So that would kind of overlap two of the events, and just unfortunately won't be able to play in anymore.
Will you then try again next year as well?
And hopefully. I mean, my plan was to try and come up here and try to win.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get high enough on the money list to retain a spot on, retain my membership for
right.
the following season. But I'm signed up for web.com Q School.
Okay.
The second stage, November 18th.
Gotcha.
The date for that. So hopefully not next year.
Right, right. Let's jump back to your historic win at the Met Open, and must have felt good coming into the week. I mean, obviously you had a pretty good summer, to say the least. Talk a little bit about Wingfoot and, you know, your win there, and obviously how special it was.
Yeah, it's really special, and it still is kind of sinking in. It's kind of cool to, I mean, that was like the tournament I wanted to, I mean, that was a big tournament when I first came into the Met section, like, and having qualified for it every year that I've been up here, once as an amateur and the other times as a pro. It's just a special tournament, and then I didn't really feel like I could be competitive in it until that old Westbury.
Mm-hmm.
I finished fourth, and that was kind of what gave me a lot of confidence to go on and try these Q schools and do all these other big tournaments. But yeah, the tournament itself means a lot to me, and there's so many great names on that trophy. I mean, Daryl's name is on it three times.
Right.
Guys that have won on the PGA Tour, guys that are on the PGA Tour right now. It's good company to be in, and then the venue, Wingfoot, is spectacular. I mean, a course that's shorter than the one that we're playing right now on the Canadian Tour, and nobody shot under par.
Right.
Leader out here is 13 under through 2 days.
Right. Yeah, right.
And kind of puts the premium on the short game. I think a great golf course does that. And Steve Rabideau had the course in perfect condition. And I say a lot of times that, you know, working and practicing at Deepdale, we're never really intimidated going to putt on other greens just because there's nothing that's faster.
Right.
And these were the first greens I've ever putted on that were faster than Deepdale's. they were quick. And the greens on top of that have a lot of slope to them. They're really tricky. Not tricked up by any means, but
no.
You just have to be in the right spot. Otherwise, you're looking at a pretty tough two putt. I think that's what the whole round is basically, grinding out pars.
It's a Tillinghast gem in terms of not just the layout, but the green complexes. It's just amazing. You mentioned on some, you know, when you talk about grind, people don't realize how draining it can be mentally, you know, when you're out there for 3 days and you're just trying not to make a big number.
Yeah, that's, you have 54 holes where you're trying not to make bogey. And that's, I mean, some of the par fives, you have your birdie opportunities, and there's a lot of pins on some of the holes where there are birdie pins. Like, they can be in the bottom of a bowl and you can hit it close, but you take advantage of those and you try to map those out. But the majority of the time, you know, it's really easy to make a bogey out there, and you really have to be wary of it. It is exhausting to step on every tee box and, you know, knowing that this is going to be a test. You have to hit two good golf shots and a couple good putts,
right,
to have a good score.
Would it be like for maybe amateurs who are listening and just the folks in general, how do you deal with that pressure on 18 tee boxes in a day for 3 days? How do you manage that?
I think a lot of it comes down to preparation and having a plan for every hole. And obviously it's different every day with pin placements, and they can move the tees around, but having a general idea of what the goal is, whether it's on a par three, you know, hitting this portion of the green for that pin, or on a par four, you know, airing on the right side of the fairway or the left side of the fairway, and just hitting it into the spots where you have the best chance to hit a good shot on the next one. And that kind of preparation is really key. And also just simplifying things, really. When you're standing on the tee box, it's kind of difficult to have to think of all that I just said.
Right.
Put it all together rather than already have it there. Know what you're going to do, tee it up and hit it, rather than take a minute to figure out what you want to do and you know, have all these other things rush into your head, kind of complicate things, and kind of stay away from swing thoughts, really, unless you're in the midst of a major crisis. Don't really think about your golf swing. Just get the ball in the hole and find a way to do it.
Yeah. I want to continue this talk, but I got to take one more break. Let's take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891, and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
It's here at last. Golf season. South Shore Golf specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by the winner of the 100 Met Open at Wingfoot, Ben Pollan. Ben, we're talking about sort of the pressure and dealing with something like winning the Met Open, something that you had on your radar, let's say, right from the get-go, joining the Met Open Met section of the PGA. And it's sort of a razor's edge, I guess you could say. It's really a thin line when you think about the pressure of things and how quickly they can unravel on you. But like you said, it's really all in how you prepare. And I guess part of that saying is pressure is what really and nerves are really when you're facing things that you don't know what you're doing, rather than something that you're doing, you know what you're doing, and clearly you know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, for the most part, you try to think. You know what you're doing. You try to, as long as, I mean, you may be doing the wrong thing, but as long as you have confidence in doing it, you know,
right,
I think that's okay.
Sure.
Having confidence in what you do is big. And also, it's not really, you have to be kind of easygoing and take everything lightly out there, because you may have a plan you may execute the plan, but then the golf course will say no.
Right.
Do something completely different. Like on the 8th or the 54th hole of the tournament this year, I knew I wasn't in the lead. I knew I was a couple shots back, not sure how far back, but all I wanted to do was, you know, hit the fairway, trying to make birdie on 18, and I hit the fairway, and the ball landed kind of next to a sprinkler head.
Uh-huh.
Where the ground was kind of wet or kind of soggy.
Right.
And plugged. It didn't get any roll. It kind of just plugged and hopped out an inch to the side with mud all over it and a giant pitch mark resting up underneath the ball. And you walk up there, and, you know, after making a good swing and hitting it in the fairway, expecting to have a good shot in there, you kind of...
You're left with that.
You see a golf ball just covered in mud. And instead of kind of like dropping my hat and saying, oh, come on, what is this? How did this happen? I didn't think about anything other than trying to make birdie. It kind of just stayed in my head and thought about maybe what the mud would do to the ball and picked a spot in the green and hit it and hoped. And it just had a little fade on it and went pretty close to the pin for a birdie putt.
It's amazing. You know, it's just like life, right? It throws you all these little curveballs, and how you deal with these curveballs really can... tells you a lot about yourself. And also the thing about that is, what I find amazing is when you're competing, there are lots of things that happen that people, even outside the ropes, you know, that are there but are outside the ropes, can't really see. You know, maybe in that particular case, a lot of people, you know, you could see the mud on the ball, but there's probably a handful of people who wouldn't have seen that and not know why the ball did what it did. And let's say you didn't pull off that shot that you want and the ball went whatever way left or way right, you know, the people, like, it's easy to look from the outside and be like, why did he do that? But when you're inside and you're playing, you can see all these little things that, and you're obviously dealing with all these little things that can affect the outcome of your, you know, your score, your future, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, there's definitely golf's a difficult game because of its variables. And you have the variables that you can control in your golf swing and your equipment and everything, and then the stuff you can't control with the wind constantly changing, different parts of the turf being firm or soft, uphill, downhill. I mean, all this stuff that can cause a golf ball to go different places, it's not going to go the way you want all the time. And yeah, it's when you're playing, you notice stuff like that, and you have to be able to take it, whereas, you know, on TV... Even though, you know, in the Met Open, you don't have, you know, hundreds of HD cameras.
Right.
Like you do on a PGA Tour event where everybody can see everything. But, you really can't let it, influence you too much. You just have to play the game, know that things aren't going to go your way, and you know, just do your best and hopefully come out on top. Because only one guy can win.
Sure. How did you feel going into the playoff? Did you feel like you had a little momentum? Because it sort of... went back and forth for the first two holes of that.
Yeah, I was just thankful to have the chance. Never really expect, you know, to get into a playoff, being two shots down with one hole to go, but, you know, crazier things have happened,
mm-hmm.
like the club pro. golf's a crazy game, but I felt like I had some momentum going in, making birdie, him making bogey. And we both hit pretty awful tee shots on the first hole. And I scrambled to get a par, and then he made a really nice par in 17. And we're all square going into 18, and we both went long, and I got up and down, hit it on to pretty good chance for par and tapped in for bogey, and
right.
he gave himself one of those tough two putts that we were talking about.
Right,
it's crazy. A wing foot, you can be just chipping off the green, and not have an easy chip.
Sure.
Not an easy, like, you know, three shots. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's a grind. I want to finish up. I know you got to get ready for your next round there, but I wanted to finish up with how special Champions Dinner you were able to attend that, and now, you know, what did you sort of learn there, and what did you soak up there, and how good does it feel to be able to be part of that going forward?
Feels really good, and those are my thoughts at the dinner. I was thinking how cool it would be to be a part of, you know, this group of guys. They had such a cool ceremony with it being the centennial. A bunch of these guys came out for the dinner, and Johnson Wagner was there, and Jim McGovern, all these guys that, you know, you look up to. They had a really nice presentation, and everybody was sharing a bunch of memories from their wins, and this really nice booklet was put together about every Met Open champion that just goes through the history of the event. But yeah, I mean, I knew the Met Open is special before that dinner, but after going there, I know it's really special, and it makes it that much sweeter to be a part of those guys, or the group of guys right now.
Does anything stand out from that night that you think really fair amount of impact on you?
There's so many things.
Right.
I mean, just being
in the room and at the table probably is enough for most.
And the fact that that room and that table was at Wingfoot, that's such an important venue
right. For
the Met Open. Having, you know, held the most Met Opens at that course, and for the 100th to be there, it kind of just made this golf tournament feel like it was
something different.
A big deal, but it felt, you know, like a bigger deal.
Right.
It's the 100th anniversary of one of the oldest events in the country, and just made the event that much more special to me.
I mean, it was sort of like the perfect storm of just excellent, you know, of for golf in terms of, like you said, the 100th, the historic nature of the event, the venue of the event, the organization like the Metropolitan Golf Association, and its history and its traditions. It couldn't have come out more perfect for you, for the organization, for the club, for everybody involved, for golf.
Yep, absolutely.
You know what, maybe I'll let you go. I know you got to go, and I really appreciate you taking the time to squeeze me in here and before you're around today, but want to wish you all the best, and good luck today and this weekend and going forward, and look forward to having you maybe touch base with you down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. I love coming on, and it's no problem at all, and thanks for the well wishes, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. All right, that was Ben Pollan, the 100 and Met Open champion at Wingfoot, and he's now competing at the Wildfire Invitational on the Mackenzie Tour in Canada. That's Ben Pollan, and we're going to take a short break. We'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891, and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday morning. It's a little crisp out there. It was in the 60s, so hopefully you had an extra layer before you headed out to the golf course. Just wanted to thank Ben Pollan and just note, just amazing what a humble young man this kid is, and what a tremendous amount of perspective he has. And I think it's a credit to his parents and who have done just such a wonderful job with him. And I think, you know, probably a big part of it is influences Darrell Kessner at Deepdale. And I think he's had a positive impact on him. But what a nice young man. And I just, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when I ask him, you know, when you reflect on the last three months, and, you know, and the first thing that comes to mind for him is that he's thankful for the opportunities. And that right there is, you know, just says it all, I think, about the kid and what he's about. And so we wish him all the best. And certainly I found interesting is that he, you know, learning how to deal with curveballs. I think all the time on the golf course, and probably in life too, you're dealing with curveballs all the time. And how you deal with them, well, that's just, you know, tells you about you know, your makeup and what you can handle and what you can't handle. And so, so I thought that was kind of interesting, because to be successful in this game and the, on the level that the professionals have and to make a living, you're going to, as they always say, you're going to lose more than you win. So, and sometimes it's like a razor's edge. It could be a, you know, a piece of mud on the ball. It could be a gust of wind. It could be an imperfection in the green. Not even a spike mark or a ball mark. Maybe it's just an imperfection that just knocks the ball one way or another. And you know, it, and golf can knock you down. And it's a matter of how you get back up. But so thank you for joining us, and thanks for Ben Pollan, and we wish him all the best in the future, and hopefully we'll have him on soon. That's it for this week, and we'll look forward to being back with you next week. I hope you enjoy your holiday weekend. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.